Good morning. If I could cut across your conversations, get your attention. Let me introduce myself. So my name is John, also known as JP, and I've been a member of church since my wife poached me from somewhere else. And it's been a really, it's really great to be here this morning. I help serve with her leading our youth team. And I have the joy of continuing on our series this morning. This is Grace Church. And I mean, I've really enjoyed this the morning so far. I'm just sort of looking at most of my points, and they've already kind of been explained and demonstrated better than I could really articulate. So we'll just go with it and see what happens. But it's just so great to have members welcomed and joined in this morning with us. And we are talking about unity and diversity. Oh, I need to do it right. I'm not used to this. With the buttons. There we go. Unity and diversity. So before we get stuck in, let's pray. We are going to be looking at God's word as we look at this theme. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are about rescuing a people. You're about gathering us together as your body. And we just thank you so much. We can celebrate that here this morning together. And we really pray that you'd be with us by your spirit now. You'd give me words to speak and give us hearts to listen, Lord, that we would be quick to act, Lord, on your call in our lives. And I thank you so much for this time, this privilege to hear your word. And we pray you be with us now. Amen. Right, so this morning we are looking at the theme of unity and diversity. And to lead us and focus us on that, we're going to be looking at the text found in 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. So the passage we're looking at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7, 11, and then 12 to 27. So I'll just read it through. It's up on the screen there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of many parts, not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God who put the body together has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Well, I finally got through there. Next bit should be a bit easier. Now, I don't know about you, but I love watching people in groups. When you're out on holiday and you go to a big city, somewhere bigger than Truro, not that that's hard, and you're looking around at a busy marketplace, and I'm just hit with this sense, the enormous variety of humanity. We come in all shapes and sizes, don't we? There's huge variety in our cultures, our languages, people's clothes, their accents, their eye colors, their hair colors, and there's just such an overabundant difference among us. And even here in Cornwall today, the capital of Cornwall in Truro, there's a richness of diversity among us this morning here. And diversity is all around us in the world. It's not just our humanity, but in all living things, in the plants, the animals, the minerals, colors, sights, sounds, smells. There's an overwhelming beauty and richness to the diversity that we find in life, in the world around us. And that's not just down to mere mechanical processes of creation and just natural phenomena. See, diversity stems from the very nature and character of who God is. And there's a quite special form of diversity in our humanity. The diversity in our humanity quite specially reflects and echoes that diversity that we find in God's character. The unity of God's character. For we were created in the likeness and image of God, and we have been made in his image. The God in the Bible has made himself known to us as the Trinity. That is, his three distinct persons united as one. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. A tri-unity, the Trinity. And we're going to try and get our head around a bit of that. Diversity and unity, they're not two separate concepts. They're kind of melded into this one concept at the same time in the Bible. And as humans, we reflect that nature. And as the church, we embody it, something more of it. And it's a mystery to be united and still yet be individuals. And there are a number of really great analogies and pictures used to describe and talk about the church, the corporate body. And that is God's people, not the building, throughout the Bible. A flock of sheep, a temple of living stones, to name a few. But here in this letter to the Corinthians, we have this striking image of a body. And from which we're just going to draw 5 points from as we look into to speak into our theme of unity and diversity. So now a bit of context to the letter that we just kind of read through, a chunk of it. The church in Corinth to whom Paul was speaking to was really struggling. If you think life's bad, you know, jump into the First Corinthians and read the first few bits of that we missed out. And there was infighting, there was chaos, disagreements, members were taking each other to court. Their meetings were chaos, like literal chaos. It was carnage. And they'd forgotten, they'd lost their understanding of who they were as followers of Jesus and how they were actually called to love each other and share their lives together as a church. And Paul writes this, "Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We've been made one body. We are one. We are united." See, unity is more than just a helpful picture or concept here. It's more than just a cozy picture, oh, we're one body, that Paul's encouraging them to kind of get along together. This passage ends with a declaration that now, as followers of Jesus, verse 27, you are the body of Christ. You are his church. You are his bride. We are one. There's no room for holding on to cliques and subcultures, our titles and dividing social classes that the Corinthians were identifying with and causing all sorts of problems. Paul calls them back to remember the great truth that as Christians, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, young or old, male or female, black, white, brown, red, blonde, whatever, we've all been given the same spirit to drink. And we've all been formed into one body. Your ethnicity, your tribe, your social class, it all just equals one thing now in the sight of God, and that is Jesus, the body of Christ. And for us today, perhaps this is a bit more of a far greater concept of unity than we're kind of perhaps used to thinking about, especially for us today in a Western self-centered society where the rights of the individual are held, you know, sacred above all else, beyond everything else. It's possibly harder for us today to kind of engage with this mindset of being united than it ever would have been really for the Corinthians. See, unity in the world looks like this. It's like-minded individuals coming together to share in a joint interest or cause. Great, nice. Unity in the world standards, if we kind of extrapolate that, is it's an aggressive form of imposed uniformity where we're told what we must think, how we must look, how we must talk. We band ourselves together in little self-governing cultural cliques and interest groups. In our post-Christian culture in the West, we may speak about unity and strive towards an idea of it, but to quote Mark Sayers, who we've kind of used in some of the series of this talk, it's striving for the kingdom, God's kingdom, without a king. It's a body without a head. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a headless chicken. It's not really something you get exposed to in England a lot, but it's not pretty. And there's a lot of noise and a lot of movement, but it's not a lot of future in that body. And you need a head. Contrastingly, unity in the church looks like this. Unique individuals being united together as one in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a unity of profound difference. The most intimate of human relationships, the union of a man and a woman in marriage, two people coming together, both legally, emotionally, physically, joining their lives, that's described as being a picture, a mere likeness to the closeness of the unity that Jesus has with his church. I can't even get my head around that. And unity is not something that we as a church think is simply a good idea to help us get along. No, it's who we now are. We are now a body of many parts united as one. And this is the unity of the church we're called to. And it's only achievable by the power of the Spirit, as we saw in verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to us form one body. It's only by being completely submerged in God's Spirit, by being completely baptized in God's Spirit, accepting Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins, that we get to enter into this new life, into this new body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. See, the church is called to be a body of many different parts, not bodies of the same part, not many bodies of the same part. We're not called to be separate specialist Gentile churches or Jewish churches or a student church or even a middle-class white professionals church over here. No, see, church is not a separate groups of special interest groups. And God had added many, many different people from all sorts of walks of life into the Corinthian church. And that's why we saw them in such a mess, because they'd come from all walks of life. It was completely unexpected. It cut against the cultural norms of the day to gather people of different, you know, ages, social classes, genders, just everywhere, all together, trying to kind of work out life together. And yeah, it was unexpected of the time. And it was messy. But that's what we're called to be as church. We're called to be united people of every nation and every tongue and every social background, every age group, every walk of life, to be many. We are one, but we are not all the same. See, just like the early church, this is true for us at Grace Church here today. In this great little city, that's our tagline as true, isn't it? We too are a gathering of richly diverse and varied people. Yet, we're but a small little tiny sample slice of the collective global church pie as it was. So here in Cornwall, we're uniquely still within our context, richly flavored by our local context. We're a community here of families, of pensioners, professionals, students, young people, children, babies, directors, sales assistants, technicians, doctors, nurses, teachers, filmmakers, engineers, artists, designers, groundsmen, carers, architects, mums, administrators, secretaries, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, meat eaters, veg eaters, vegans, cat lovers, dog lovers, fish lovers, cyclists, footballers, and so on. The list is I ran out of time to think of things. And yet somehow, without violating those differences that we hold, that we are, God unites us and places us together. We hold both concepts together. They're not in opposition to each other. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted to be. Now, to me, this paints the picture of a great orchestra, if you picture it, if that picture maybe helps. You have a body of musicians all gathered together with instruments of all different shapes and sizes, string instruments, the woodwind, the brass, the percussion, tiny little silver piccolos, the most annoying instrument in the world, giant harps, violins, big double basses, huge tubas, a massive percussion section, even the triangle, yes, absolutely. And they're all there. They've all been placed in their seat, working in unison, using the musical gifting they've been given. And it's all brought together and orchestrated by the conductor at the front in perfect, beautiful unison. See, this is a better picture of the church. See, church is not like school or the military where we're molded into clones. Sorry, teachers, but I teach at university. But where we're tested against each other, we're forced to compete. We're different. We're all fearfully and wonderfully, uniquely created. And we're all personally known by God, our Father. And he's placed each one of us into his body, exactly as he intended us to be. there's an immense freedom that we can find in that, in celebrating our diversity within the unity of the church. See, God loves diversity. And we see it right here again in verse 7 and 11, in the fact that he chooses to add differences to our individuals again. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Now, there's verses in the middle that I've missed out. Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts. It's just an illustrative list. There's even more. There's even more lists that you can find in Romans and Ephesians. So to our differences that we already have, God gives us gifts again that are different. We all have different roles and gifts that God gives us specifically for the common good and blessings of the church. God has placed all the parts in the body just as he wanted them to be. And every one of us has been gifted by the Spirit. And that's point 3. See, it's not just the people who speak from the front or sing or prophetically lean towards it. We've all been gifted for the common good. And gifts are great things, aren't they? And it was Christmas recently, my birthday recently, and my daughter, Miriam, she gets so excited at the mere sight of a bit of wrapping paper anywhere, anything wrapped up, she's there. She loves gifts. But there's also a risk with a gift, isn't there? I mean, a gift is something you don't always get to choose. And as a parent at Christmas, you'll appreciate this. Sometimes you really, really wish you could have ever avoided your children opening that present. Not mentioning robotic singing unicorns at all, no. See, a gift, as well as being a blessing, it's a responsibility. You have to choose to accept it. And if you choose to accept it, you still then have to choose to open it. And then even once you've opened it, you still have to actively choose to use it. Gifts are funny things. But we're told everyone has been gifted by the Spirit for the common good, for the common good, for the body. And I wonder if maybe you still maybe need to open yours. If you've thought, oh, I've not been gifted by the Spirit, maybe you just need to open it still. Maybe you need to take it off the top shelf, pick it up again, dust it off, and share that blessing with the body of the spiritual gift that you've been given. See, as a body, we need each other. We need the expression of the collective gifts that God has given us. We need them. So moving on to point 4, but look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Every part is indispensable as well. We need each other. So, I mean, think about it. How could an eyeball possibly open a door or supply food to a mouth? Or, I mean, have you ever tried walking with just your head? Every part is indispensable, and every part has a unique role. Every person added to the body of Christ has their own unique role, their own part to play, and their own gift to bring as well. Just as a body suffers with the loss of one eye, if we cut off a foot, we all collectively lose out where parts are missing or not engaging. If one part suffers, we all suffer. We miss out and enjoy the fullness of what it means to be the body of Christ. Church matters when we don't join in. When we choose to not join in, it hurts everyone. It matters. We each have a unique part to play in God's book, in God's body. Your contributions to God's body is unique. It's important. It matters what we bring. See, it's not enough to simply be attached to a body, to be associated with Christ's body. I mean, what good is a leg if it doesn't work, if it doesn't move? What good is an eye if it doesn't open? There are no unnecessary parts to a human body, and there's no sitting on the sidelines if you're part of a body. And yes, Paul beautifully acknowledges there are moments in life when circumstances rob us of the ability to join in, to gather in, to share in the unity of God's body. We see that in verse 26. When one of the members suffer, we all suffer with them. There's a unity, a closeness in that. And church is more than just meetings. It's more than just a social group. The church is the body. It's a body on the move where God's holy people, to whom and through whom he reveals and displays his glory to the world. We're the body of Christ. Quite literally, we, the church, display Jesus to the world. That's how we function. And every part is essential for that mutual functioning and flourishing of each other. just as a conductor can assemble an orchestra, he can get his band together, book a room, get everyone together, arrange all his instruments out, get players for all the instruments, stand them, sit them there, get his music, stand up at the front, wave his arms around as much as he wants. Unless the musicians pick up their instruments and play, nothing's going to happen. He's going to look like a right old fool. He needs everyone to join in, to kind of take part. So it does matter. And every part is indispensable, no matter how small or hidden. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Now, it's so easy for us, isn't it, to judge the importance of something based on the size of it. And growing up in India, this is definitely the case when you're on the road. There are only two real rules of traffic in India on the road. One is, you drive on what's left of the road. And the second is, might is right. The biggest vehicle always has right of way, regardless of where you are. And that means if you're a little kid cycling on a bicycle, going around up to a roundabout, and a lorry comes charging around the wrong side of the roundabout at you, you're left with two choices, ditch or radiator grill. And might is right. It's so prevalent, isn't it? We this is just a mindset, not in India on the road, but everywhere. It's the way we think in the world, and it's a mindset that we wrongly sometimes bring into church life. And we see that so wonderfully here in verse 22. Those parts that seem to be weaker, they aren't weaker, they seem to be weaker. Those parts were thinked to seem to be weaker. The smaller roles, the quieter roles, those hidden acts of service behind the scenes. The kids workers in Grace Church right down that corridor. The people who did set up this morning, first to arrive, last to leave. The partners of the people doing Alpha, staying at home every night, looking after the kids on their own so that they can release their spouses to do stuff. There are hundreds of tiny little small hidden acts of service and sacrificial love within our community that bind us together as a body. And they are to be treated with special honor. And we should be a people who collectively acknowledge and thank them. We're called as a body to hold such roles with high honor. So no matter how small your role or hidden your role is, your part is indispensable. But lastly, there's two kind of other points to draw out of this. And that is, we can be tempted to disqualify ourselves. Either we think, our efforts, this is just not worthwhile if I bother turning up. Why would I bother turning up? Or we have a fear of failure. Now, I've never really warmed to the concept in this language of being described as a part. Because to me, as a trained product designer, this is what I think of when I hear the word part. This is a part. This is a part drawing. I spend a lot of my life doing these. This is a part. Yes, a part. Great. A mechanical fixing, a gear, a bolt, something that's very functional component, part of a big assembly, and it's very, very specific role. And it makes me think of a body that might look a bit like that. I don't know if you're familiar with Terminator, but there we go. To be part of a body like that, there's nothing exciting in my mind about that. No, we're not a body of precision, organic, robotic. We're not a robotic being. We're not a robotic body. We're an organic body. We're a breathing, relational body where there's space to grow into roles and our giftings. There's permission to try and fail at Grace Church. There's permission to grow in your role. See, God has gifted each and every one of us, each and every one of you, by his Spirit with gifts that you're called to fan into flame. You've been given a role and a gift, not a task and a spanner. There's a big difference. And secondly, we can be tempted to disqualify others. Our diversity is a blessing. It's a rich blessing, but it can also make us blind and arrogant towards others who are not the same as us. See, as eyes or ears, we have no right to judge or dismiss a toe or a spleen or a kneecap. Rather, we think ourselves more important. Rather than thinking ourselves more important than we are and judging others as weaker. See, we need We need the continued perspective and sustaining love of God's Spirit in our lives. It's the breath, it's the lifeblood of the church that holds us together and gives us the correct view, the correct perspective on things. We've got no right to dismiss or think of ourselves higher than any other member of church. Rather, we're called to give those special honor to those parts we're tempted to think less of, so that there may be no division in the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So to draw all those things together, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, a richly diverse and yet wholly united body. This is Grace Church. This is what it means to be church. And this is what also makes church the most exciting, the richest, the fullest expression on earth of what humanity is. And it's part of being part of that body that Christ has called us to be. We're called to be living out the purposes of God, grasping hold of this momentous truth that we have been united in him and are called to live our lives in communion together as a local church. And we're going to celebrate that fact together today by ending our time with communion, as you can see. And before we do that, I just want to kind of draw out two really practical kind of applications from this. And the first is, which has already been hammered home really well, and better than I have, that there's a joining in evening coming up. And it's so great that God's been adding members to us as a body over the last year and so, and even months and weeks. There's always new faces. If you're interested in kind of taking a peek behind the scenes of seeing kind of where the beating heart of the church lies, then come along to that. It's a great place to corner Andrew and grill him with theological questions and really get to know Laura as well. And it's a really lovely venue to just see who we are as a body and join in on that. And secondly, as a body right now, we're in real serious need of people to join in with serving teams. We really need help in our Grace Kids at the moment, on our sound and our setup, our AV teams, our worship teams, our welcome teams. And the variety of skill varies from being able to stick tape to a carpet, to being able to be a welcoming smile in the morning, to investing in our children and welcoming people as well, and modeling Christ to people. So I'd really like to encourage you, more so challenge you guys this morning, that if you feel that God has joined you to us as a body, or in the process of doing that, and you feel you could step into one of these roles on serving on a Sunday, and this is the perfect place, the most ideal place to pursue the spiritual gifts that God's given to you for building up our community, grab one of these cards from the back. There's even another section as well to fill in. But really great to do that. Now, as the band joins me at the front, we're going to lead a time of communion together. And communion is such a beautiful picture. And we're going to do it a little bit differently to how we normally do. We're going to read some liturgy together from the front and go straight in from that into communion and sung worship and response. And if communion is a part of your normal life, if you're a guest here visiting with us this morning, then please do join us in with that. You're so welcome to join us in celebrating this holy meal. And if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, then please just let this pass by. I hope you'll join us for refreshments and coffee at the end. And we're just kind of going to do this together and have a good amount of time just to respond. And Becky will lead us. She has a whole host of songs. So as well, if there are contributions as well that come off the back of this, then please do come to the front and let's just spend some time celebrating who we are as a body. So if you'd like to stand. Father, we thank you for communion. We thank you that we can be one body. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are all one body, because we all share in one bread. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen.
Going to sing When I Survey, but if in this time you want to go in and get communion, share with one another in that, that would be great. So do be active from the outside and go and do that. We'll sing it through a few times, so don't worry if you want to miss a song, come back and sing.
The whole land. thank you that we can come to the foot of the cross as one body, recognizing and accepting again the price that Jesus paid. Father, we thank you that we can come individually and collectively all at the same time. We thank you that when we acknowledge you as our Lord and Saviour for the first time, for the 100th time, for the 1,000,000th time, that our heart's desire is to serve and love you wholeheartedly. Father, we just pray that for those of us that feel like we might have put that gift up on the shelf that you've given us that can benefit the church, we pray that in this moment we might take it off of that shelf. For those of us that have received that gift and just don't quite know what to do with it, Father, give us wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom, that you give the gifts to glorify your name. Help us as brothers and sisters to encourage each other and hold each other accountable to that. May this be a place where mistakes can be made, but may this be a place where we can, through your Spirit, pick each other up again and learn how to use those gifts in this place, so that we may go out and declare your word more publicly, with more courage, with more precision. Just as we sing the next song, if you feel like there's a particular gift that God has laid on your heart, or there's a particular thing that he's kind of stirred up in your heart and you need a bit of prayer for that, or you just want to tell a friend so they can hold you accountable to that, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and just share what's on your heart. There'll be a few of us down here. If you want some prayer, make your way down here. Some of the community group leaders and I will be ready to stand and pray with you.